Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good afternoon, but not such a good afternoon. Red Sox lose to the A's 5-3, lose 2 out of 3 to the A's, and here, unfortunately, is the call of the game.
Here it is, and it is drilled high and deep in the left field. If it's high enough, it's out of here, and it is. Into the second row of the monster seats, Brent Rooker has 30 home runs, and right away, the Athletics lead it 2-0. That was a hanger, and Rooker did not miss it.
A cutter right down the middle that you said it did not do a whole lot. It's a pitch that has really helped Brian Baio mature and develop this year, but that was right in the happy zone for Brent Rooker to crush his 30th home run of the season.
That play of the game for the Athletics, not Brian Baio and the Red Sox, was brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Ted Johnson here, and we got to get right to it. Short program. Also have Tom Curran, top of the 5 o'clock hour. So, boys, I just put up a poll real quick, afternoon's poll, after the Red Sox lose 2 of 3 to the A's, heading to Tampa, the injuries, the offense, slacking, the pitching staff, suddenly not the strength it is supposed to be. Are you worried? Really effing worried? Or is this team toast? Ted, I'll start with you.
Yeah. Heck yeah, I'm worried. Are you kidding me? Please. What we're seeing is very, very concerning. I mean, you were all kind of counting on Brian Baio as you're a secure number two, you know, that we felt pretty good about Luis Giolito as the three, you know, and they were kind of getting, you know, they haven't been perfect lately, but you felt pretty good about those guys. Well, Brian Baio, that was his shortest outing since May 23rd. Think about that. The shortest outing. He didn't last, you know, 4 innings, but he that's 3 months of time that's gone by. So to have him playing, maybe, you know, pitching that bad of a game does not give me confidence with the next 9 games. And they're going to need every one of these 9 games. The Guardians have won 12 out of the last 15 games, and they are just a game and a half behind you for that third wild card spot. So I'm nervous, guys. The bats just don't seem to be coming alive. I mean, the pitching is one story, but the bigger story is these guys can't get any hits. 2 hits after the second inning? Give me a break.
Fitzy, ESPN tells me the Red Sox have an 88.6% chance to make the playoffs.
That seems high,
like
that, man.
Yeah, it does. Dang. It doesn't feel
Marty,
like that.
They've got an 88.6% chance. Hogwash, garbage, nonsense. No, they don't. Andy, what are my options again?
Yeah, worried, really effing worried, or they're toast?
They're toast.
Yeah, it kind of feels like they're toast.
I'm sorry. Like, if they make it into the playoffs by the hair of their previously win chinny chin chin, What are they going to do?
Oh, no, that's all you got to do. Win and just get in, bro, and then it's a whole new thing. This team cannot get out of its own way. In addition to the fact that the offense was once again thoroughly anemic, this was just a hospital waiting room of a Thursday afternoon at Fenway. Dismal, dismal affair. They make another couple errors. They only avoided being swept by the Oklahoma Athletics by squeaking together a couple of runs late in the game last night and then winning an extra innings. It took an extra inning squeaker to not get swept at home in a series that you needed to win so as to give yourself some breathing room and start building confidence and momentum heading towards the playoffs. This team can't score. Over the last month, Bregman's batting average is .150. I think I saw Rafaela's is .180. You have no power. You have no clutch. You've got no momentum. You've got no continuity. And God bless Alex Cora for the false bravado and facade of confidence he showed us yesterday at Fenway, because I don't have any idea how anyone on this team can believe that they can, quote, do damage, let alone get into the playoffs.
And I know you guys mocked my fear of messing with mojo with the change in the lineup. And Trevor Story has stayed hot at the plate. But did you notice he got thrown out stealing last night? And he had two errors in the field today, throwing errors that led to runs. I mean, your best player is still the only guy hitting. He scored runs. That was a great athletic play to tag up. And a beautiful slide hits the home run. But I don't know. This team is just, and I give the Hall of Famer credit, Joe Castiglione, listening to the post-game show. He's like, yeah, he made a couple errors, and have you seen this lineup? You just look at this lineup. Even Joe Castiglione, who generally errs on the side of positivity, you look at this lineup, and even the A's have a better lineup. Even the A's have more guys you have confidence they can hit the ball out of the ballpark, can score you some runs. Yeah. Right now, it's Trevor Story. And did you see Yoshida? Yoshida is literally no longer hitting ground balls to second. You know why? Because they're just swinging bunts now. Now they're just swinging bunts that if he played junior league baseball in one of those leagues where if the ball doesn't go past the arc, you're out, he would be out all the time because it wouldn't pass the little arc they put in the field. This lineup, you're right, Fitzy. I give Cora credit for keeping a straight face when he pencils in that lineup and saying, yeah, we're a good baseball team. We're going to play in October. With what?
Yeah, no, honestly, like, and there's no more reserves to call up. You have basically emptied the Woo Sox so as to bring up every available, vibrant, young left-handed arm, who all, by the way, have contributed wonderfully. You got Toley throwing 100 today. Harrison's going to get a start this weekend. And, oh, my God, no big deal, kid. Is there any chance you could maybe give us what Connelly Early did on the road in a bandbox down in Tampa? Connelly Early has to go on the road on Sunday as well and be a stopper if Crochet can't on Friday night. And he's given up over 1.5 home runs a game over his last month. Andy, everything is trending in the wrong direction. They can't hit. They intermittently can't field. Now the arms are tired. Lucas Giolito was not terribly effective last night, even though he can opt out now. Fine, whatever. Okay, we'll worry about that next year. I've got a lot of now problems. We needed Bayo to be good. We told Corey yesterday, like, it's a 5-6 ERA this month. Are you worried? No, he's going to be fine. He wasn't. Everything's falling apart. I mean, if any semblance of this car crosses the finish line of the race, it's not running again. It's just going to get in there and get waxed.
So, Ted, let me give you two things that I think are sort of reasons for a little hope or positivity. One would be what you just referenced. I don't know how the Guardians can keep winning at this rate. Like, that's just, it doesn't feel sustainable through another, whatever, 10 games, end of the season here.
They're currently on a seven-game winning streak and won 12 out of their last 15.
Yeah. This is baseball. This is baseball where you're now due to lose 2 out of 3, 3 out of 5, whatever, if you're the Guardians. The second thing I would say, though, Fitzy, if the Red Sox do get in, and Dan Ball updated the FanGraphs version of their percentage to make the playoffs is 83%, so they still have an 80-plus percent chance to make the playoffs. Man. I will say that performance by Peyton Toley today made me think, okay, Chapman in the ninth. I'm going to work backwards here. Chapman in the ninth, Whitlock in the eighth, Toley in the seventh. That looks like it would be kind of fun in a postseason game.
Are you kidding me? I mean, you know, you're bragging about your call for Trevor Story getting called out at second, which was a nice call, buddy. But I got to pat myself on the shoulder because I just thought, you know, Tolley would be better in the bullpen. They did.
Yep.
They announced it last night, and he went in there, and you saw what he did. So that's a positive for sure. And you just, if you compare the two schedules, it's a two-horse race here between the Guardians and the Red Sox. I mean, the Guardians have four games against Minnesota, three against Texas, and three against Detroit. So, like, comparatively speaking to the Red Sox, they got a much easier kind of road there compared to the Red Sox. And so it's just going to be every night watching what those two teams do, man. But you look at, you know, you look at the lineup, and I remember we were at the Fenway last Friday, you and I, Andy, and we were looking at the TV screen with the lineup, and we're like, man, it just doesn't. But it's like, it's still got Jaron Duran up there. It's still got Alex Bregman up there. It's still got, you know, Nathaniel Lowe and Carlos Novaez and, you know, and Rafaela. And those guys, there were times in the season in which they were, I mean, does anybody remember how Carlos Novaez started the season on fire? Like, and so there's just a lot of guys that were really just really playing maybe over their skis to start this season. That when you look at them now in the recent month and a half, they're different players. And that's what's so confounding.
And I was just going to say, Fitzy, if you look at the guys, some guy, Narvaez, young guy, don't know. Okay, Rafaela, still young, streaky. But, Ted, you mentioned two guys. Duran and Bregman are guys that are established enough. You should say, okay, I know you've been in slumps. Duran, you haven't had the kind of year you had a year ago. Well, guess what? You got 2 weeks to get us in the play. Like, those are the guys I would say you need to step up. Rafaela, I don't have a lot of confidence in at this point where he's at. Because if you can just get a couple guys joining Story in the fun, and if that's just Duran, Story, Bregman, well, at least you got a third of a lineup, and every three innings you hope you can have a chance to score a run. And I think those guys are established enough, Fitzy, as veterans that, you know, this is nut cutting time. You need to put up or shut up, because if you don't, you might be going home.
Okay, sure. That's fine, but it's been nut cutting time. It's been put up or shut up. It's been make the playoffs or make postseason plans time for a couple days, if not a week plus now. And they can't stop this slide, guys. It's real. Like, this is turning into the baseball version of the incinerator scene in Toy Story 3. Like, unless the little green guys are going to come in with the claw magically and save us sometime soon, this team seems like it is hurtling towards a very unpleasant finish at a rapid descending rate. And I'll put it this way, Ted, if you're telling me that the Guardians have an easier schedule over their final 10 and they're white hot right now, playing the right kind of baseball with a lineup that is more clutch and more fearsome than the Red Sox. Let's say the Guardians go 6-4 and they're a game and a half behind the Sox. Andy, Ted, do either of you have any confidence right now that the Red Sox can win four of their next 10 games? Like, really, the way that they're hitting?
Not right now. Not the way they're hitting. Just no bats at all. Like,
that's also too big a picture for me. I have trouble envisioning them winning any games. I mean, I don't want to be the flip side of negative, but you're sending Garrett Crochet to the mound tomorrow in what feels more and more like a must-win game to take some pressure off of Harrison and Early. And what has his issue been lately?
Yep.
Home runs allowed. What happens when you go to Tampa? Teams hit home runs. The Yankees hit 14 home runs in a two-game series in Tampa. Like, now I'm worried about that situation because there is no room for error. Right, you pretty much, if you're Crochet, you have to think if you give up two runs, you could lose. You really can only give up one or fewer runs if you're going to give this team a chance to win.
And I just want to jump in real quick and say that there's a lot of pressure, even though it might not feel like it for us every day, but they're feeling the pressure of having to win because they feel it slipping away. And you look at the profile of this team as a young team with some older guys that are maybe some think are past their prime or don't have much left in the tank. And so they're kind of just, you can tell it's getting to them. There's this pressure stuff right here. You have a chance to get in the playoffs for the first time in 4 years. And the way the season started and how they were clicking on all cylinders when Roman was healthy and playing every day to where they are now, I feel like it's just a very tight group, built on a lot of young guys that haven't been here before.
617-779-7937. Let's squeeze in a quick phone call here. Eric in Chicopee has a thought on Cora and the Sox. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, I also agree they're toast. And, you know, I understand all the quote-unquote excuses. especially the ones about losing games in the past. But they're losing these games now. And I understand when a team's feeling pressure, like you guys were just saying, yes, they're definitely feeling the pressure. But I don't like Cora's sort of laissez-faire, politically correct comment about, oh, if you would have told us in spring training with 2 weeks left, we'd be in the playoff spot. At some point, masking or ignoring the fact that you need to win now doesn't make the pressure go away. I think
thanks for your call, Eric. Oh, sorry, we're in a little up against it here. I don't think he's trying to mask it. I think, honestly, he's trying to stay positive for what Ted just talked about, a team that's feeling pressure, a team that sees its season slipping away, and he's trying not to, exacerbate the situation with the Boston Red Sox. They lose 5-3 today. They lose 2 out of 3 to the A's, and it feels like their playoff chances could be slipping away, although the numbers say it's still above 80%. 617-779-7937 if you want to join the conversation. Up next, joining the conversation about the Patriots, our weekly check-in with Tom E. Curran. Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, here with WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on the team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Afternoons, that's up next. So we're going to do a little football talk right now with our buddy Tom Curran. Tom Curran with WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, and by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Tom Curran, how are we doing this week?
I am off the charts good. You sound a little down, a little forlorn. What's the matter?
Well, you know, I was kind of looking forward to a Red Sox playoff run, and I'm starting to think there's not only not going to be a playoff run, there might not be playoffs at all, and that's gotten me a little down today.
Wow, you're taking it hard.
Yeah.
Ted, anything, Fitzy, anything you can do to help the fella out?
It's, you know what? Unfortunately, he's I'm kind of right there with him, Tom. I'm misery loves company, man.
Well, Fitzy, how about
no, actually. Believe it or not, the Foxborough fanboy and Mr. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Boston Mind actually thinks the Sox are toast there, Tommy.
All right. Well, at least it's a story. At least there was drama to it.
All right. So let's talk about a team that if the Red Sox are trending in the wrong direction, maybe the Patriots are trending in the right direction. I think you must be like the rest of us. You saw Drake May last week and were like, okay, that's what I've been waiting for. What was your favorite part of what you saw from Drake May on Sunday in Miami?
Oh, that's a good question, bud. I think the movement out of the pocket that Josh McDaniels had him doing, get him out of the pocket. Look, if he likes to throw on the move and he likes to throw off platform, even to the point where he seeks off-platform throws, I think, then let's move him around and see how he does. And he was much more accurate, which I think calms him down. If he's a busy guy between the ears, that's fine. And if moving around makes him less busy, all right, let's move him around. And it's funny because listening to Mike Tomlin, and you guys have another radio show to do tomorrow, listen to Tomlin's Wednesday press conference around the six-minute mark. I'm doing quick slants today. I grabbed it. He goes on about Drake May's mobility and his ability to make things happen with his legs to really changes things. And I think that May could be entering a stage where teams aren't just saying, yeah, nice young quarterback, to if he plays like this more frequently like he did last week, yeah, he's a problem. I don't know if he's a problem yet for teams. I think he has potential to be a problem, but he's too wild stallion to this point to be legitimately a week in, week out, oh no, what are we going to do?
Tom, do you think they found something in regards to, you know, types of plays that he is maybe best skilled at doing, like the boots and all the kind of moving pocket stuff and the play actions? Do you think that will continue? Do you think they've found the formula in that game plan from the Miami week?
Yeah, maybe to an extent, but you know better than me. The biggest equalizer there, Teddy, was down in distance. If you're in second and two, everything's wide open for you. You don't have to go in shotgun. You can get under center. You can run bootleg. You can run play action. So if you're in third and six, yay, let's run play action. No one's going to bite. So to me, it's all about how well do you run the ball. And they don't have, you know, the 1990s Dallas Cowboys offensive line, but they certainly have a passable one in terms of run blocking and guys who can move people out of the way. It seems, again, it was 1 out of 2 weeks. But to me, that should put them in much better position to create what May likes and excels at.
Okay, Tommy, I'll ask the other million-dollar question on the minds of Pats Nation right now as they head towards what should be a fascinating affair at the Razor on Sunday. Offense is looking better. Let's hope they keep it up. How about that defense especially? Do you think they're going to get a key addition in the back end with the old Gonzo?
I don't know. I mean, it's day 52. I asked Mike yesterday, and you guys might have heard it in a press conference. You know, you're not, for us, everybody speculates about injuries. No matter how often they ask us not to, they do it themselves. When they see a guy limp off, their immediate thought is, how long? Yep. So is ours. And their immediate thought is, well, what's the timeline? When's he going to be able to be back? And if he has not, Christian Gonzalez, matched up to the expected timeline, which initially was reported both by Karen Grigian and Jordan Schultz, shouldn't be a threat to miss week one. I mean, that was basically dismissed out of hand. Well, then what happened? This is where it becomes, and I asked Mike about this, difficult for the player, because if nothing is shared about his condition, rehabilitation, progress, and you look at a hamstring pull, and there's all kinds of variations of hamstring pull, if nobody says anything, then we're going to sit there and say, well, how come it's this long? And which opens the next can of worms, which is he taking his time? Which opens the next can of worms, which is, why is he taking his time? Is it money? Is it he doesn't like to play at less than 100%? So this has not done anybody any favors. This is a perfect example of a time in which they should have been a little bit more transparent with the progress, I think.
NBC Sports Boston's Tom Curran here with WEEI Afternoons. I want to stick with the defense, Tom, because I think we all thought it was going to be the strength of the team, and we sort of based that on three levels. The back end, pass coverage, we thought would be good. We won't know that until Gonzalez is back. The front end, we thought would be good, and it has been good, right? Milton Williams, Christian Barmore, Harold Landry. The question I have is the linebacker position that I thought would be better with Robert Spillane. He has not been the tackle machine I was told he was going to be. What do you make of the problems at tackling at the linebacker level? Is that just early in the season stuff, or are we something we should be worried about?
I haven't watched enough Robert Spillane over the course of time to say, oh, this is totally uncharacteristic. This is my first introduction. He has to be upset at what he's got on tape so far. I'm sure he is. And I'm sure he'll be better. I think the shining example was when he just failed to wrap up a tight end in the red zone last week and just checked him, and the guy moved off that. It's just a horrible play, worse than the A-chain one. So I would expect he'll be better. Why is it the way it is? I think some of it might have to do, Ted, with contact not had in the preseason during preseason games nor in training camp, and they're still getting used to it. And I'd also add that going into the season, I did think that the defense and the immediate expectation of excellence was misplaced, because it takes a long time for the communication to really gel. And I think they'll be better. But I've looked at the linebacker level and said, this is a total afterthought on this team. For a linebacker in Mike Vrabel, defensive end, who grew up as he did in the league, it's Christian Ellis, Jelani Tavai, Jack Gibbons, Robert Spillane. I'm not looking at a bunch of household names there. And it's not the way it was even a couple of years ago when, you know, they were a linebacker heavy team. So the front's good. The back end should be good. The linebackers, I think, are just they're one slice of meat in a wonderfully breaded sandwich.
It is true, Tom. I mean, he played with some very diverse and just, you know, really, really good linebackers. So it is weird. He seems to have a type, and they're not that big, and they don't make the tackles, which is maddening. But hey, I want to ask you about the Steelers. I just find it kind of the Steelers, how they're doing things this year, fascinating. Going out and spending big money, bringing in, you know, guys that were, you know, great for teams, but you know, didn't come through their system. You had Mike Tomlin giving a 10 minute dissertation on the whole Patriots roster, which was insane. And it's just Aaron Rodgers, 1-1. He's having a decent season, I guess. But just, does this team scare you? What do you think about the Steelers? And are the Patriots getting the Steelers at a good time right now? And by the way, I didn't realize this. Aaron Rodgers 0-2 in the two games he's played at Gillette. I didn't realize that. So 0-2 in Gillette.
Well,
not that that matters, but
spoken.
Yeah, no,
it's worth noting. I mean, those were I'm guessing, and I'm sure you know this too, that they were better. But they were better Patriot products. Yeah, I think that they're getting Pittsburgh at a good time. But I also think that Pittsburgh, it's funny, Rodgers had something where he was asked, how do you respond? He goes, we need to respond with a win. I don't want to be too binary, but it's important to win.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I said, you can look it up on Pro Football Talk. It was kind of goofy, which is not surprising. But they have to look at the Patriots and say, my God, we cannot lose to these guys. We just gave up 32 to the Jets. We gave up 31 last week to whoever the hell it was. Help me. Seattle.
Seahawks.
Seahawks.
So, I mean, we can't walk in and lose to the Patriots. Did you see how many mistakes they made against Miami? I mean, I'm just trying to channel what they must be thinking in their film and meeting room. So, the Patriots are catching Pittsburgh at a good time, but the Steelers have T.J. Watt, D.K. Metcalf, and Aaron Rodgers, who is, on Sunday at least, still a better quarterback than Drake May. I don't know if it'll happen by next year on September 20th, but right now, I'd still take the guy with the bigger brain and the better and the equally decent arm. So yeah. I'm thinking Pittsburgh, Ted, they're looking across. He has a question. I didn't really answer it. They're looking across at the Patriots and saying, we need to get this game. We're not going to 1-2 with a loss to New England.
Yeah, and maybe if the Patriots love up on Aaron Rodgers some more, because Drake May even called him the GOAT last year, maybe that'll soften Rodgers up enough. We'll see, Tommy. Speaking of GOATs,
Do you know the Patriots are 17-26 at home since the beginning of the decade?
Since Tom left? Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I'm actually surprised that they're even that good, per se. So, real quick, on the subject of GOATs, though, Tom, you seem like the right kind of guy to ask for an opinion on this. What? How do you like the week that Tom Brady has had? And how do you feel about, like, it came out via Adam Schein today, Antonio Pierce talking about how he used to get some tidbits on other teams from Brady. This was last year when Brady was broadcasting. And now the Flag Football League in Riyadh, like, I don't like it personally, and you know what a Brady apologist I am, so I'm just kind of curious to get your spin on the weird week that was Brady.
I'm just, honestly, Fitzy, I'm kind of over it. How many times does something have to happen and we react with surprise at it? Whether it's him walking down the, you know, concourse in a satin jacket, whether it's, you know, last year's roast, whether it's any number of things. We should all be over it by now. If Tom Brady does something that would have been eye-widening in 2022, it shouldn't be by 2025. I mean, we know kind of the guy, he likes to own things. He owns a piece of the Raiders. Were the Patriots going to slice off $1 billion worth and give him 10% of the team? I doubt it. Did Tom want to work with Robert Kraft, perhaps? When he certainly lays, I think, a fair amount of the blame for him having to leave town on Robert. So, I mean, it was Bill was just doing Bill things when he moved on from Tom. Robert was the one who kind of did a Pontius Pilate with the whole situation. So, to me, I'm just no longer, oh, no, what is Tom doing? Ever since he shaved his armpits, I think. and do you remember that? When he was going down the water slide in Brazil?
Yeah.
Yeah, the naked armpits in Brazil. I said, wow, anything could happen with this guy now.
Tom, you are now, I don't know, a few months into the day-to-day Mike Vrabel press conferences. I'm not there anymore, so it's hard for me to get a feel. I try to watch them all, but sometimes you lose it on TV. What have you thought of Mike's tone and tenor? And we know he's a ball buster. We know what he was as a player, but you know, there's been these weird, he went at Phil that one day. This week I heard him say something like, you know, if we're talking about last week's game on Wednesday, I'm going to have a real problem with it. There was, you know, use your time wisely. What have you thought of the Mike Vrabel experience so far?
I like it. I enjoy it. He's been incredibly open, I think, with you know, certainly not injuries, but I think that he's been as transparent as he can possibly be with the way he feels about things. You know, look back at last week, very transparent on, you know, what he had for hopes for Josh McDaniels. I thought that his answer to the question about what do you do to motivate Drake May, while it was snappish, it was interesting. It's insight. He's a little edgy. That's okay. I don't mind that at all. I'm not going to say, well, why did you be mean to us? And I know that you're not saying that, but, you know, he stomped off yesterday. He literally stomped off. And I pestered him with Gonzalez questions and interrupted him. And he's just very impatient, Mike is, to let's cut to the chase. What are the questions? I want to answer them. And if they're not the questions he wants to answer, he's going to try and get to the next one. But I was probably driving him crazy by trying to redirect him. And then we started asking questions that were probably best served to be asked Monday. And it is a symbiotic relationship between the media and the head coach. We're not there for him, and he doesn't necessarily do himself any good by helping us excessively, but it does have to be at times helpful to each other. And I think that he has tried very hard to make it helpful at most times for us. So I got no problem with him so far, because he'll say what his friggin' problem is if he has one, as opposed to, you know, Bill, who just turtled and just would never talk to you again. You're like, what did I do? Well, he's just on to the next guy. We didn't do anything.
Does it seem like to you, Tom, that Mike, I don't know, sometimes I worry that Mike thought the gig would be a little easier than it is. Like, I've seen kind of his short temper, not, you know, temper, but just patience, it wears thin, and it just feels like, man, it's early in the season for that. I mean, do you think there's any sense that he's maybe thought it was going to be easier than it's been? Because, I mean, it feels like he's just putting everything into this job, and it seems a little bit frustrated that it's maybe not where he thought it might be.
I don't know. I don't know if his expectations are not being met. I don't think that it seems – I mean, if I really think that he understood how hard it was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, he looked at this team –
he looked at this team and saw, okay, they got a quarterback. They don't have any offensive line. They don't have any receivers. They got a tight end who's good. Not great, but he's good. Let's see. Nobody wants to sign here. They got a safeties I don't want to keep. They got a cornerback who's pretty good. We have to gas the entire coaching staff. And oh, man, look at this. We got a personnel guy who's an old, has to hang around. So to me, I think that he probably did look at it as being really hard. He's probably been working really hard for months. So I can't imagine they thought it was going to be easy. He probably just gets in front of us at those press conferences. Mm-hmm. And he's like, this is kind of the last thing I want to do right now.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, I'll try to end on a positive question here. You've been covering him, obviously, for now. This is his fifth season in New England. You happy to see Ramondre such a big part of the offense last week? And do you think he can keep up the contributions and the pace? Because I thought I was ready for the Travion Henderson takeover, but Mondre was a monster last week.
If he doesn't drop the ball, he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
End of story. There was never a moment in which I said he can't run with the football. He was getting hit in the sternum the last couple of years. He kind of deserved the contract that he got going out of 20, whatever the hell it was, 2021 or 2022. He kind of was already trending as a top five back. He didn't lose his speed. He had plenty of instances, Fitzy, where he was good at the second level. You know, when we talked at the beginning of the year, who should I have on my fantasy team? People would ask me, I'd go, Ramondre's still going to get the ball all the time on first and second down until further notice because he's violent. So I am happy for him because I speculated about his future here and said he's overpaid by a lot relative to the production. But now he's playing like the kind of back that they expected when they paid him, and that's good for him because he is a pretty good dude.
All right, Tom, before we let you go, can I get a quick pick or do I have to watch Quick Slants to get that?
You gotta watch. No, I don't even know if I have it ready for Quick Slants. I'm probably gonna go Pittsburgh again, though.
Oh,
I mean, I'm gonna go with the other team again.
Wow.
I want more data.
All right, Tom, I'm with you.
Temporary.
Yep, I'm kind of with you. But thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Tom.
Have a tremendous day.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
See you. That's Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Yeah, I'm cheering up. I'm just turning
the page.
Shave
your armpits.
It's all football season now. It's all football. The Red Sox are toast. Let's just watch football, Thursday night football, the whole thing. High school, college, that's what we got these days.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today, the Red Sox season felt like it truly started to slip away.
Yep.
They lose 5-3, lose the series to the A's, split the season series to the A's. That's not good. And, you know, you guys were talking earlier about, well, what do the schedules look like? Teams you're supposed to beat, not supposed to beat, easier, harder. Like, I don't know. I don't feel like I can pencil a win for the Red Sox in against anybody right now because the lineup is not going to score a lot of runs. I laughed out loud. Dave O'Brien, early in the first inning, I think so it was 3-1 A's after one, and Dave O'Brien goes, you know, this could be one of those crazy 9-8 or 9-7 Fenway days. And I was like, you think the Red Sox can score 9 runs in how many games? Like, where are you getting that confidence, Dave?
9 combined runs, maybe, but not 9 or 8 runs from the Sox. My God, that's like that's a week's worth of runs for this team right now, sadly.
Yeah, so I know... Go ahead, Ted.
It feels like, look, everybody on the lineup has gone through their slumps throughout the year at different times, but now it feels like they're all slumping at the same time. What it feels like. It was kind of like, you know, there were guys that were in this lineup that have slumped earlier in the year, but other guys were hitting, so you didn't notice it as much. Well, you notice the lineup, how bad everybody's slumping right now because – it's the entire lineup, top to bottom, that other than maybe Trevor Story, that's not hitting.
And I will also just, you know, excuses or reasons given by losers. Abreu and Anthony are hurt. And I didn't love the Abreu not traveling with them. We'll probably have to get into that a bit more tomorrow with a longer show, full show. But Abreu not traveling with them to Tampa Bay is going to work out. And then if it goes okay, he might join them. I believe, I wrote it down actually because I noted it, Middlebrooks on the broadcast said, that worries me. Worries me as well. Because, yes, Ted.
Wasn't he originally planning on going down there?
Seemed like it.
Was that the original report? Mm-hmm. I heard that he was originally planned on going there?
I know we're going down the same Christian Gonzalez road of like, is there a setback? Was there a setback? Why is he not back yet? But that feels, and they could use him, and that's not fair. Because with, you know, 9 games to play or whatever, to expect him to just come in and hit you a few bombs right away, have his timing down, carry the lineup, that's not fair, but I didn't like that. Turning the page to football, as I think we may have to do sooner rather than later, and sooner than I really expected. This game on Sunday at Gillette Stadium, and Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount+. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King this season. Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount+. So this game, I think it's a winnable game. Like, we've talked about this. There are winnable games, teams that, you know, if you think you're a 500 team or a borderline playoff team or whatever you think you're going to be, the Raiders, the Dolphins, the Steelers, they're all kind of in that conversation with you. But Tom Curran ended his chat with us just a few moments ago saying he's going to pick the Steelers. He's leaning towards Pittsburgh, needs a little bit more information, a little more data on this team. Ted, before, you know, tomorrow we'll obviously preview the game a little bit deeper, but how are you feeling about this matchup? How are you feeling about whatever you think the Patriots fixed in Miami, and whatever you think are still issues that need to be fixed if they're going to win a game against Aaron Rodgers?
You know what it is? I'm not a believer in Aaron Rodgers. I saw what he did week one, but he had a good game and he was all fired up and he had things to say after that game because it was against the Jets and it was his former employer that paid him a crap ton of money and he still it wants to just stick it to him in the biggest way. So he'll get up for that game. And then you saw kind of what happened last week. But it's really the story of this team, Andy and Fitzy, is the defense. You know, you can rattle off all those names, Cameron Hayward and T.J. Watt and Patrick Queen. You know, they have big name guys on that side. It's Darius Slay. But the facts are that they're not a very good defense. They rank last in and yards, and their pass defense is terrible. So it's kind of shocking. It feels like that defense got old really quick. So I just think if you can't beat this team at home, when I'm not a believer. Sorry, Aaron Rodgers. And just what they did, building the way they built this team, it's just so atypical of how the Steelers run their thing. I mean, they just have a lot of overpaid, kind of bloated contracts on defense with a guy that's way past his prime in Aaron Rodgers, who can every now and then give you a game if he's really motivated. But I just think there's too much on the Patriots' side to lose this game. I don't feel like super confident, but I feel fairly confident that they are the better team. I do.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Ted on this one, Andy. I think the Patriots have a really good chance to win the game on Sunday. And it's mostly because of my faith in the offense and the way that they evolved and showed maturation against the Dolphins. The defense still has issues galore and plenty they can work on. And I hope that it's been doubled down this week on the practice fields behind Gillette. Whereas if they continue to take the baby steps to medium-sized steps forward like they did last week, this Pittsburgh defense is giving up 400 yards a game. You know, Ted pointed out all the different names that are on there. Yeah, it's a pro shop of defensive jerseys that you may have there, from Queen to Hayward, Darius Slay, Joey Porter Jr. at cornerback. Don't forget Jalen Ramsey as well. There's a lot of people you recognize, but they're not playing well. T.J. Watt. And if the Patriots can find ways to pick them apart, notoriously, the Patriots have had a lot of success against every iteration of the Dick LeBeau defense. I know he's no longer the coordinator that Pittsburgh has employed, and Tomlin seems to be running some variation of it therein still. Hopefully Josh McDaniels can teach Drake May a little bit of what he taught Tom Brady, or he and Brady worked on all those years, and continue to have success. If they can put up more than 24 points on Sunday, I feel really good about their chances.
How about this? Real quick. How about this? The Patriots lead the NFL in sacks. And the Steelers, with all those pass rushers, are tied for last in sacks three sacks. So,
and Rodgers has been sacked. I think he's been sacked 7 or 8 times in 2 games. So
he's been sacked 7 times. Yep,
yeah.
7 times.
So Patriots should be able to. I boil it down to 2 things. First, I think you should be able to run the football offensively. I think you should get Ramondre going like you did last week and like Curran talked about. And if you do that and kind of play ahead of the chains and play offense on your terms, I think that's a really good positive. And then my biggest question is a question that I think Tom Curran talked about. It's not about the front. It's not even about Christian Gonzalez and when he will play. It's about the middle of that defense. Let's hear what Curran had to say about that.
But I've looked at the linebacker level and said, this is a total afterthought on this team. For a linebacker in Mike Vrabel, defensive end, who grew up as he did in the league, it's Christian Ellis, Jelani Tavai, Jack Gibbons, Robert Spillane. I'm not looking at a bunch of household names there. And it's not the way it was even a couple of years ago when, you know, they were a linebacker-heavy team. So the front's good. The back end should be good. The linebackers, I think, are just they're one slice of meat in a wonderfully breaded sandwich.
And I think that's going to continue to decide football games for this team. And maybe Robert Spillane, I mean, the way Curran talked about it, like there's sort of a lack of names and talent there. Robert Spillane is supposed to be that guy. He was brought in and given some money to be that guy, and he's been disappointing. But, you know, we talk about the safety position and the linebacker position. To me, if I'm an opposing offense, I'm going at that early. I'm going at that often. If you want to miss tackles, whether it be in the short passing game, whatever, I think that middle of the field is the downfall, potentially, of these Patriots.
Well, look where the money's at. The money's all on the interior defensive line, and, you know, even the outside guys with Harold Landry. And then they put money in, you know, in Carlton Davis in the corner.
Yep.
So safeties and middle linebackers, I mean, yeah, those guys are getting paid, I guess, Christian Ellis and Spillane, but not with big money deals.
No. The only big money one is Duggar, and he's a part-time player
right.
at times.
That's right. The Spillane thing, look, everybody just said this guy was going to make 1 million tackles. And in training camp, I asked Tom Curran, what he thought about some of the free agents, and I specifically brought up Spillane. I haven't heard his name mentioned. And when you go to practice, I never saw him make a play. You know, where the hell is – oh, no, they're fine. And it was like, dude, I got to see something from guys in training camp to feel confident that they're going to be players when the season starts. And I saw really no – no game, no flash from the linebackers in training camp, and it's proven to be true in the regular season.
Yeah, I don't really fear the primary carriers for Pittsburgh as far as their rushing attack goes, and we like the Patriots' defensive line. Now, whether they choose to try and expose the Pats' cornerbacks if Gonzo doesn't play by working the outside and seeing if they can mismatch with DK Metcalf, okay, you'll win some of those, you'll lose some of those. But if they get quick over the middle with Jaylen Warren, Calvin Austin, Roman Wilson, Pat Freiermuth, that's where Aaron Rodgers might be able to find those soft spots and keep the Pittsburgh offense on the field long enough to frustrate New England. If they win the time of possession and it's him with the ball in his hands last, then you should be worried. And obviously you should hold your breath if it comes down to Chris Bosworth versus Andy Borogalis. I think we know who the advantage goes to there.
Yeah, I'm not. I hope it doesn't come down to a field goal, but I'm in a weird situation. I didn't think I would feel this way necessarily this early, but if you ask me who I have more faith in going into Sunday's game against the Steelers, is it Drake May in the offense to move the ball and put up some points, or is it the defense to tackle well, to make the plays you need to make to win that football game? I think I'm with my guy Josh McDaniels, my guy Drake May in the offense. I know it's only 1 week, and probably I'm extrapolating too much off a single data point in week two in Miami and all of that, but I feel pretty good about this offense. 617-779-7937. I don't know why I'm giving out the phone number. We're coming down the stretch here to the end of a short show. Red Sox lose 5-3. Red Sox lose 2 out of 3 to the A's. Getting on a plane tonight, heading to Tampa Bay. It's a crochet day Friday. It's not Fenway, but it's a huge Friday night game for the Boston Red Sox with Garrett Crochet on the mound. Dan Orlovsky.
What's he talking about?
I don't know. I agree with the part about best game of Drake May's career. Not sure who the guy was that was like, ooh, like, how many are there? There's only like one or two to pick from. So this was the best game of his career. But the comparison to Ben Roethlisberger, Tim.
What?
I don't see it. I don't get it. I mean, you have more intimate knowledge of Ben Roethlisberger than I do. Is there any shred of truth to that?
No. Ben Roethlisberger doing bootlegs? That guy was a big tub of goo. He was just this. he was just a big bodied guy that kind of moved around the pocket. He didn't get out and run. He wasn't outrunning guys. I don't understand. There was no athletic piece to Ben Roethlisberger's game. That's shocking to me. In the Josh Allen, I get maybe the Josh Allen comparisons, but size wise, I don't. There's Josh is way bigger than Drake May, way bigger, and I mean they run around like it's similarly, but that's where their comparisons begin and end. But yeah, the Ben Roethlisberger, I have no idea why he brought his name into the conversation. He has nothing, no traits that are even similar to Ben's. I'm surprised he would say that.
Yeah, Fitzy, that one kind of caught me off guard too, Andy.
Yeah, the one thing I would say is if you want to compare him to guys that are Hall of Famers and going to Super Bowls like Ben Roethlisberger and obviously Josh Allen, those are the types of comparisons we want. I added the name to the list for me this week, different body type, but the Jalen Hurts comparison because I saw an efficient game and a guy that is running with a lot of awareness, not haphazardly, and I think that's sort of a foundational piece of Jalen Hurts' game.
Yeah, can I just say real quick? Sorry.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Ben Roethlisberger. Do you know how many games he won his rookie year?
15.
Yeah, 15. 15. He won 15, It was going to be a project. It was going to be Drake May. It was going to take time. He was the most underdeveloped. He was the one you're going to have the most patience with. You didn't need that with Ben. Big Ben came in and was balling from day one.
Odds and ends on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. It's Cars with a K. Yes, Fitzy.
Yeah, well, the one thing I was going to say was, do you guys, in looking for a comp, because they always bring comfort and discussion to people and fans, and especially here on programs like this, but do you see a little bit of an oversized Russell Wilson? Like Russell Wilson ran so well in his prime and delivered, the way that offense ran. Could you see a little bit of that in Drake May's game if he continues to evolve? And I know who Russell is now versus who he was in his heyday, but he's a hell of a good quarterback for a long time.
Yeah, no, there's some to that because I always thought Russell Wilson preceded Jalen Hurts as the best heady runner in football. When he ran, he rarely got hit. He got out of bounds. He got down. He did it, you know, with a purpose, not, you know, putting himself in harm's way. And they ran some moving pocket stuff with him in Seattle and some boots and different things. He had a – now, I will say, I'm not sure – one of the greatest attributes I always thought for Russell Wilson was his ability to throw running to the left, rolling to the left. He was a really accurate passer in that sense. But, yeah, no, I think those guys, that group – and I do think we want to pull off of – Josh Allen is a freak. So, like, you know, lowering it a little bit physically in the comparisons from Josh Allen. You know, I don't know if you saw it this week, too, preparing for Thursday Night Football tonight was like, yeah, I'm nothing like him. I can't do, literally can't do half the things he can do. We play the same job. We have the same job in the world, but I'm nothing like him. And I think that's probably a disservice to Drake May, the Josh Allen comparisons. Like I've said, Teddy, I don't know if you'd agree with this. To me, Josh Allen is maybe the most well-rounded, physically gifted quarterback since John Elway. Like, they are similar in, like, big, athletic, can run, can throw, the arm. Like, it's not really
fair. I think
it's
a good comparison. I like that comparison. I think that's a fair comparison. I do. Yeah, it's a good call.
And so to include any, like, first- or second-year quarterback in those types of comparisons just really sets him up for failure. It's why, you know, Mike Vrabel doesn't like his players making comparisons and doing comparisons, because then we talk about it on the radio. I believe talking on the radio after us will be our friend Christian Arcand, which I can only imagine that Christian, if I'm a little bit down after that Red Sox loss, I feel like Christian Arcand's going to be fired up. What's up, Christian?
What's up, buddy? And yes, you're right. I mean, it's probably going to be, I only have about 90 minutes tonight before we get to Thursday Night Football, and that was, I mean, just the whole homestand has been really just a trip to the dentist, and today in particular was another really, really bad one. Bad fielding. This offense is completely cratered. There's not really a lot of ways I see this thing rapidly improving. All you can really hope for is that Cleveland slows down a little bit, or that Houston and Seattle, something has to happen there. I think if Seattle sweeps Houston, that's probably better for the Red Sox. We'll get into some of the math, which I know everybody loves to talk about.
Oh boy.
But we're in magic number territory right now, and yes, I'm very bothered by what's going on with this team.
Can I give you the one positive I tried to pull from it early in our show? And that's if they do sneak into the playoffs, which the percentages still tell us it's over 80%. Whichever website you go to, it's still over 80%. It's now nice to envision Crochet goes six innings in game one of your playoff series. Toley goes the seventh. Whitlock goes the eighth. Chapman goes the ninth. And you're up 1-0 in the series because you won a 1-0 shutout. You like that, Christian Arcand?
Sure, and that's great. But listen, I mean... You know, as far as this team and what propelled them to where they are right now, it's the starting pitching. I mean, the bullpen's been very consistent, but you have to have these top three guys going. And if you do, then you can overcome the offense not being great, and you can overcome the occasional bullpen slip-up. You can do that, but there's only nine games left, and the starting pitching, it hasn't cratered like the offense has. I don't want to be unfair to them, but it's certainly not what it was for the last 2 months. And in the span of those 2 months, both Rafaela and Bregman have completely disappeared, and there's nothing really coming. It doesn't look like the cavalry's coming to save them.
And the good news with the starting pitching, even though they're not pitching well, is it's still Bayo and Giolito. It's still the guys that were doing the good things that put you in this position, whereas the lineup, we're counting on frickin' Sogard and Yoshida and Eaton and all these guys. Even my guy D. Ham, he hit a home run today, but no one wants to see him out there playing with any regularity. All right, stick around for Christian Arcand, about 90 minutes. He will get you ready. Well, he'll bitch about the Red Sox for a while and into Thursday Night Football. Where it could be the final game of Mike McDaniel's career as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. If they get obliterated by the Bills, he might be done in Miami. We are done for the day, but we will talk to you tomorrow, 2 to 6. Full show, should be fun.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.